This episode is dedicated to the memory of Coach Joe George. Marshall County, Tennessee is home to a rich and diverse history. The echoes of our past reverberate all the way through today. All that we have to do is listen. Welcome to the Book of Marshall. We are postponing our scheduled episode topic today to celebrate and remember the contributions of Coach Joe George. Today's episode is produced by the MCHS History Club with help from MCHS alumni Caden Mills. On April 9th, 2024, former Marshall County High School baseball and assistant football coach Joe George passed away at the age of 80 years old. Coach George was beloved, not only from his successful career in education and coaching, but also as a member of his community. The History Club had the opportunity to meet Coach George in January 2023. He was kind enough to spend several hours talking with Coach Bob Edens, as well as several former members of the 84 football state championship team for one of our episodes. During this interview, we had the opportunity to witness Coach George interact and reminisce with his players. We were impressed by his humility and grateful that he was so generous with his time.
The Book of Marshall, Chapter 8, in memory of Coach Joe George.
Born July 1st, 1943 in Lewisburg, Tennessee, Coach George's career coaching the Tigers baseball team spanned nearly 40 years. On the football field, Coach George served as the assistant coach to the legendary Tigers coach, Bob Edens. Edens told the History Club during our interviews that his success as head coach would not have been possible without Coach George's ferocious Tiger defense. The Tigers had ran a three-deep coverage and relied on hard-hitting linebackers to stop the run. Coach George would coach the Tigers defense for 22 years, including during the three-year undefeated regular seasons from 1983 to 1985.
However, Coach George would find even more success during his time as head coach of the Tigers baseball team. His record during his 37 years as the head coach was a stellar 803-262, boasting over a 75% win rate. Coach George would win his first baseball state championship in 1983, going 31-0 during the season. This accomplishment alone would have qualified Coach George as a legend in Marshall County athletic history, but he was not done yet. Coach George would win back-to-back state championships in 1993 and 1994. His baseball program also finished state runner-up four times and made 12 appearances in the state postseason tournament. In 2003, he even received the honor of Joe George Day in recognition of becoming, at the time, the winningest head coach at a single school in Tennessee history. Coach George would find himself inducted into the Tennessee Baseball Coaches Association's Hall of Fame. In 2019, Coach George was honored with another prestigious induction. He became a member of the TSSAA Hall of Fame for his contributions in baseball and football.
Joe George meant more than a list of athletic achievements and championships. As a coach, he is best remembered for the relationships he forged with his players. A man of high character, Coach George maintained a standard of excellence, yet still maintained his humility. When recognized on Joe George Day, he credited his success to his players and coaches, saying, "We've had a lot of good, talented players who have worked hard, and I've been fortunate to have two good assistant coaches. We all coach a certain area of the team. We try to develop character and integrity. Baseball will take care of itself." In the greater community, Coach George was also an elder at Westview Church of Christ, where he served for many years.
The
History Club was fortunate to have discussed the 1984 Tiger season with Coach George and Coach Edens. Before the players arrived for the round table, Coach George and Coach Edens had a discussion about the season. This is Coach George and Coach Bob Edens discussing their time coaching together in the 1984 season from January 30th, 2023.
We were as coaching. We were just always ourselves, and we didn't have any cursing or anything. Wouldn't allow
no.
that.
No.
And if we pitched a fit, it was a under control fit.
Absolutely. He didn't have to say they knew when Coach E's veins started getting up through here. They knew it was time.
And they knew Joe when his voice got he was upset at him. So we had those clues that yeah. better watch out.
Yeah. It was that was a cool bunch. So the next year we went down to Marion County and played down there, and they were up 14-0 at halftime, And I was pulling my hair out coming in here. Rodney said, "Coach, we got this. Don't worry about it. We got this." And that was it.
That was when Jim Lambert broke his collarbone.
Yeah.
They had a boy named Pumpy Tooters, and that's a perfect football name.
Man. Yeah.
Pumpy Tooters.
He was tough.
And he was running back. Yeah. They run the split back veer with two backs on the and behind the quarterback like that. And they ran it well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he broke through the line of scrimmage, and Jim came up, I believe, and hit him and broke his collarbone. So that's Jim's big story.
Jim was 5'7", 125 pounds.
Soaking wet.
But it's like Joe said a while ago, they all wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good kids and
good coachable boys.
There wasn't any jealousy either. Cause
no.
When we played BGA, when Jim was starting, and BGA had a split end of about 6'5", and little Jim was 5'7". So I put Frank Sullivan in his place, and Jim understood. He wasn't pouting or saying a word about it, and it turned out, it worked out better because they tried to.
Yeah, and togetherness. So we want to win a state championship.
I think the hill had a lot to do with it, too. The hill out below the end of school there. That we felt like we could win the first two or three games just by being in better shape than everybody
right.
else.
That was our – we called that the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'd have – get through with practice and everything, and then we run our sprints up and downhill. And that was, how much are you going to put out in the fourth quarter?
Hated to start with, and they loved it.
Yeah, but it was.
But that whole last drive, like I said, Rodney, everybody was expecting him. We just gave the ball to Petey, and the whole crowd was saying, "Petey, Petey." And he was just bowling them over. It was fun. Great game. Probably the best game we played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the game's played on the field, not in the newspaper. And it never did. Never did bother me if we were 50 and somebody else was one. Those kids at that time, I'm guaranteed they'd take on anybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean we stopped afterward to eat, and the waitress said, "Well, who'd y'all play?" We said, "Miley." He said, "Well, they won, didn't they?"
No.
They said, "No." I couldn't believe
it. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids really got involved. Our student body did got involved with it. Our police would – and we'd have a big battle between the police, the Lewisburg police and the county to see which one would get first, taking us over to the football field. And so we'd have probably more cops around the football. Old Yeller going over there. And then when you turn out at Westview, cars was just turning in, backing up. Then we'd go up and turn left on the White Drive, and you'd have to wait there for a period of time to get the bus in, and then I'm not lying on this, it might take 5 to 10 minutes to get from Mooresville Highway to in the football field.
Yeah.
There were so many people there.
A lot of times we just go in the other opposite lane and drive all the way down.
Either the city or the county would get us over in left lane, turn them sirens on, we'd go. But it was – We had somebody, and I forgot who this was, wanted to sell tickets on the 50-yard line. And I said, no, I grew up not poor, but I grew up where money wasn't a lot there. So I wanted it to be open to everybody. So, you know, to get the 50-yard line, they'd be there early, and they'd take care of the 50-yard line. So that was really good.
3 and 4 deep lined up around the fence all the way around it. They were a unit, you know. I mean, you know, like I said, Jeff Little, he was a big hitter and everything. Of course, Rodney played safety, and he, you know, kind of Brentwood Academy made a mistake one time of throwing in the middle, and Rodney just picked it off, you know. But one time we were playing, I can't remember, it wasn't the 84 season, but we were playing, I think it was Joe Burns or somebody, and I was signaling the signals, and Keith looked at me, and we were winning pretty good and everything, and I gave him the baseball steal signal. And he looked at what, and then I gave it to him again. He said, oh, yeah. And guess what? They threw a Utah pass, shuttle pass, and he intercepted it. Still. It was crazy.
Coach George was beloved by his players and colleagues as well.
I'm Coach Bunk. I'm here today to pay a little tribute to Coach Joe George. First of all, I'd just like to say, you know, he's the GOAT. 22 district champs, 21 regional championships, 12 state tournament appearances, 3 third place in the state, 4 state runner-ups, 3 Class AA state championships, and he's in 2 Hall of Fames. I guess I don't have to say a whole lot about Coach George in terms of what he's done in the game of baseball. I got to be a part of that, of every one of those things that I ran out, the stats I ran out, because in 1974, I met Coach George because it was his second year as a coach and my first year as a Tiger baseball player, and also played football at that time. And Coach George was also, at that time, assistant football coach. I worked for those years with Coach George, and he helped develop me to the point where I was able for him to help me get a scholarship to play college baseball. He let me follow his and be in his shadows for 42 years after that. I came home and started coaching with him, and are actually following him around. I don't say coaching with him at that particular time, but he definitely showed me the ropes, and he gave me a lot of freedom to work with a lot of Tiger baseball players at that time. During my younger years as a high school young man trying to find myself on not only in school but in life, Coach George became a father figure to me because I had lost my father at an early age. Like I said, after high school, he became a role model in terms of being a good Christian man. I was fortunate enough to go to church with him during my high school career and college career. We went to the same church. again, like I said, he gave me an opportunity to help coach the Tiger baseball team for 42 years. During this time, besides being the father figure that he was, changes became later on. We became brothers that were bonded and true friends forever. And I think that's, I can sum up, tell you many, many stories that's took place in the last 42 years, and I'm going to leave that for somebody else or for another time. And I can't say enough about Coach George, and because he was my hero. Thank you, Coach Munn.
How's everybody? Yeah, Coach would mean a lot to me because he helped me out a lot. But Marshall got it, gonna be listening. He's a good man, good father. I appreciate everything he's done for me. Thank you.
This is Kevin McGehee. I had the privilege of playing 3 years of high school baseball for Coach George back in the mid-80s. Our record during my 3 years on the team was 89-7. We won the district all 3 years. in the region all 3 years. And 1 year we were the first undefeated team in 83 to win a state championship at 31-0. I remember one of the key moments in my high school career was my sophomore year. The first game of the year was a doubleheader against Mount Pleasant, and I batted seventh that day, and I had four hits in the doubleheader. And after the game, Coach George came to me and said, "Would it be too much pressure on a sophomore if I moved you to the number four spot in the lineup, which is cleanup?" And I was just thankful to be getting to play. And that next day, I batted cleanup, and I did every game for the next 3 years. I had the privilege to go and play 4 years of college baseball, and to much credit of Lewisburg and the program here, and not only Coach George, but both Coach Reese's pouring into me. And I then came back here and was privileged to work with Coach George for about the next 20 years as a teacher. His record, of course, speaks for itself. He's a legend in every right. He's a Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association Hall of Famer. Was serving on that committee at the time of his induction, and that meant a lot to me then and still does now. But he was a great man, had a great wife, had great kids, great family, and he will definitely be missed.
First missed Coach George in the summer of 1982. That was during our summer workouts for football, incoming freshman. Coach was phenomenal at what he did. He coached our defense in those days. Was around in 1982 till I graduated in 86. His defensive philosophy was to be in better shape and tougher than our opponent. He instilled that in us when we were young, and we believed every word he said, and we were pretty tough in those days. The way he communicated with us daily, on and off the field, no matter walking down the hallway or whatever, if he that we needed corrected, he did it. I'm very appreciative of that. I needed it, obviously. I sort of coach in the same manner nowadays as I was coached in those days by Coach George and some of the others. Toughness and physicality and accountability are huge. They were huge, for us back in the day with Coach George. So he instilled a lot in me as my coaching style. One thing that we'll always remember and talk about, even at reunions and stuff, we all tried to get his health class in the spring semester. Of course, that would be senior year back in those days. But, everybody knew that, he was going to work on the baseball fields 8 o'clock in the morning a lot of times in the spring semester, getting ready for a game that afternoon. We would have a little time on our hands, but Coach trusted us in that classroom to do our jobs, and we did. And of course, we always knew of the consequences if we didn't. He would always come back for lunch, shut working on the field down, and come back and get him some lunch. And his way of communicating with us there was to slap a pole outside of his classroom, and that means go to lunch. And I think for the past 20 years before I graduated, the guys knew that too. It's sort of funny, but we did our jobs. That was the main thing. Coach had a passion for football and baseball. Of course, the head baseball coach for a long, long time. Stayed with Coach Edens for a long, long time. Really glad I had the opportunity to be coached by him and be a student in his class. Professional all the way. He big Christian man, and he would entertain the football team at his church at least once a year, sometimes twice. But Coach would greet every person walking in the door, shake their hand, give a short devotion to our players sometimes, touch so many lives while teaching, and even after retirement. I got to know him much better after he retired, though I had him for 4 years of football in high school. But going to be missed by many. Marshall County High School is going to miss him. I know we're going to miss him as the football team. Baseball team is going to miss him. just unbelievable the lives he touched in this county.
With the recent passing of Coach George, I feel like Marshall County, Cook County High School, youth sports, high school sports are definitely in the county. But also across the state, we'll miss Coach George. Cubs watch your heroes go down. I'm reminded of a couple of things as I think about my relationship with Coach George. The first one is the fact that I was very fortunate to grow up when I did. Growing up in the 70s here in Lewisburg and Marshall County and entering high school in the early 80s, it was always my dream to play for Coach George. I had seen his baseball teams over the years. I've seen the success they had and was very fortunate to be a part of four of his teams the early 80s up through the 1985 season. Was very fortunate to play for a state championship in 1983. It was the first of three state championships that Coach George had as a head coach. Very fortunate to have played for him and Coach Steve Reese. The second thing I think that I'm reminded of is the heroes that all of my coaches were to me. From youth sports all the way up through high school, I looked up to my coaches. I looked up to my teachers. They were all heroes. Coach George was just one of many that I looked up to. Coach George will be missed. I love Coach George, I love his family, I love what he meant for this community. I'm very fortunate to have been able to play baseball for him for 4 years and also to play football for him for 4 years. He served as my defensive coordinator. Again, fortunate to have played on the state championship football team my senior year in 1984 with Coach George calling all the shots on defense. He was affectionately known as Dr. G. Or Coach Payne, what we always refer to him as. Coach George, I'm going to miss you. I love you. And I know you're in a better place.
Good morning. My name is Brent Adcox, and I am the principal at Cornersville High School. I came to Cornersville in 1995 to be a U.S. history teacher and to be the head baseball coach here, I think. But more importantly is just kind of talk about my journey to get here. I am a 1988 graduate of Marshall County High School, and I played for Coach Joe George, a.k.a. Coach Man. I played for Coach George from 1986 to 1988, and Coach George was extremely influential to me as a player, but also, more importantly, as a young coach, just a great mentor for me. And, you know, we had great success in my high school days with Coach George in those 3 years that I played for him. We had success. And then, you know, when I left Motlow, he was instrumental in getting me to play at Motlow State. He helped me get, him and Coach Munkeries helped me get a scholarship to Motlow State to play baseball there. And has been very influential as far as just guiding me and having baseball build a lot of things in my life later on when I become the head coach. I wanted to do the framework that I looked at for building my program, for running everything from the drills and the practices we did all the way down to the pride that I wanted to take in our field and the facilities. That framework was given to me from Coach George, and even to this day, you know, I think about doing rock concerts where we all pick up rocks and put them in a 5-gallon bucket on the field at Preston Hopkins. I look back at those times and those character building days that I wanted my kids at Cornersville to have, and to take pride in the program like Coach taught us to take pride in your facilities, to take pride in your work ethic. And you know, just looking back at all the things that we did, even as players at Marshall County High, doing two ball and taking pride when you're taking infield and listening to Eye of the Tiger, and all those things were just small things that Coach taught us and taught me that I wanted to instill in the program here. And I felt like, you know, a lot of the things that we do, that we still do, are left over from me as a coach, that came from Coach George as well. probably my biggest claim to fame as a coach was on March 19th, 2009. We beat Marshall County High School 8-7 here at Cornersville. And you would think, you know, I could tell by after that win that Coach George, even though they had lost the game, was genuinely proud to see where our programs come. It was very important to me, especially when we decided to start playing one another, that I wanted to make sure that Coach George knew that, you know, the pride was instilled in my program was built from what I learned from him. And I remember that day. It was good to beat the master, but it was also the bigger significance was the fact that he knew that he was proud for me and proud for our team, even within a loss. So I don't think there's going to be a day that I drive by Preston Hopkins Field and I don't look over there to think about him and just remember him and for everything that he did for me as a player and as a mentor for a young coach. He really was instrumental, and you know, he leaves a good legacy with a great family. And I'm not unique. There's so many other guys just like me that could say the same thing and more about what he did for them as players and for young men. So I was really honored to be asked to put my two cents in on Coach George, but very, very honored and very humbled to know that and how much he did for me as a young coach and a young mentor.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Joe George, and I probably could talk all week long about Joe and what he means to me and how good a coach he was and how good a person and father and everything that he was. And I'm just going to give you a few little highlights about mine and Joe's relationship as coaches, and have so many memories of Joe, which all of them are good, and most of them come from our coaching experience. And Joe was always well prepared in baseball and football, and he loved both the games. Baseball was his one, I think, if he had to choose, was the baseball team, and preparation and so forth was his favorite. But we're going to talk a little bit about both of them. And the best thing that I can say about Joe is that he was always prepared. And sometimes I would say that he's over-prepared, and then all of a sudden he does something on defense in a ball game that I've never heard of, and most of them come out successfully. Joe was what I called a silent leader in football and baseball. You never saw Joe get upset and lose his temper. And then because he loved the kids so much, his style of coaching was what all the kids really liked about him. He was silent, but at the same time, he had good discipline, knew the ball game, got it over to the kids. And Joe and I worked together for 22 years. And in those 22 years, we never had a disagreement on things. We would sit down sometimes. He wanted to see what this would do and that would do, and we'd look at it, and I said, well, let's try it in practice. And one of the things I laugh about many times is that in our state championship game in 84, I had about 20 plays and very little passing, because during that week it snowed and was icy, and we didn't get to practice much. But Joe had 60-something different looks on defense that he could use, and most of the time he wound up using them in different situations. Again, I go back and say that Joe was smart. He was well prepared in everything that he did. One of the things that always caught my attention was when he was coaching baseball and football, he would be in his regular position, which would be his arms crossed and one of them on the chin, and he's thinking ahead about what to do, or whether it's bases loaded, one guy on, or just batting. And if you just looked at Joel and said, hey, what are you thinking about? He would probably tell you, I'm looking ahead to make sure that we can do what I want to do. But Joel was always that type of person. And just by looking at Joe while he was coaching, you wouldn't know where the Tigers were winning or losing until you looked to the scoreboard. One thing is, this really doesn't tell the story of Joe George. This is just a section of it. His teams won state championships in 83, back-to-back state titles in 93 and 94, and I'm fortunate to say that my son played under Joe in those 93, 94 teams, and he loved him to death. Joe came in second in the state four times. Our town has legends, and Joe's one of them, but his most legendary trait was he was a better man, husband, father, grandfather, Christian leader than a coach. In a day that we need better men, let's all try to be like Joe George.
Joe George was dedicated to his school, his family, and his community. His accomplishments on the field of football and baseball is only exceeded by his work in the community and his family. This was his story. Season 2 of the Book of Marshall is sponsored by The Belfast Store, Funtime Bowl of Lewisburg, Tennessee, Rebecca Mitchell of Russell Realty and Auction, the Collins Dearman family, Al Smith, and the Camp 297 Campbell Marshall Ranger.